Welcome to Molecular Expressions. I'm your one and only host, Swami Tvaranga. In today's episode, we're going to be going over Florence Scovel Shinn, a wonderful prosperity writer who has written four wonderful books that have changed my life drastically and will change yours also. She's written The Game of Life and How to Play It, Your Word is Your Wand, The Secret Door to Success, and The Power of the Spoken Word. Today we're going to go over a chapter of The Game of Life and How to Play It. First quote is, "All power is given to each human to bring their heaven upon their earth through right thinking, and this is the goal of the game of life." Chapter 1, The Game. Most people consider life a battle, but it's not a battle, it's a game. It's a game, however, that cannot be played successfully without the knowledge of spiritual law, and the Old and the New Testaments give the rules of the game with wonderful clearness. Jesus Christ taught that it was a great game of giving and receiving. Whatsoever a person soweth, that shall they also reap. This means that whatever a person sends out in word or deed will return to them. What they give, they will receive. If you give hate, you will receive hate. If you give love, you will receive love. If you give criticism, you will receive criticism. If you lie, you will be lied to. If you cheat, you will be cheated. We are taught also that the imaging faculty plays a leading part in this game of life. Keep thy heart or imagination with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. This means that someone's images sooner or later externalizes in their affairs. I know of someone who feared a certain disease. It was a very rare disease and difficult to get, but they pictured it continually and read about it until it manifested in their body. They died, the victim of a distorted imagination. So we see, to successfully play this game of life, we must train the imaging faculty. A person with an imaging faculty trained to image only good brings good into their life. Every righteous desire of their heart, health, wealth, love, friends, perfect self-expression are their highest ideals. The imagination has been called the scissors of the mind, and it is ever cutting day by day the pictures a person sees there. And sooner or later, they meet their own creations in their outer world. To train the imagination successfully, a person must understand the workings of their mind. The Greeks said, "Know thyself." There are three departments of the mind: the subconscious, conscious, and the superconscious. Now, the subconscious is simply power without direction. It is like steam or electricity, and it does what it is directed to do. It has no power of induction. Whatever a person feels deeply or images clearly is clearly impressed upon the subconscious mind and carried out in minutest detail. For example, someone I know, when a child, always made believe they were a widow. They dressed up in black clothes, wore a long black veil, and people thought she was very clever and amusing. She grew up and married a man with whom she was deeply in love. In a short time, he died, and she wore black and a sweeping veil for many years. The picture of herself as a widow was impressed upon her subconscious mind, and in due time, worked itself out regardless of the havoc created. The conscious mind has been called the mortal or carnal mind. It is the human mind and sees life as it appears to be. It sees death, disaster, sickness, poverty, and limitation of every kind, and it impresses the subconscious. The superconscious mind is the God mind within each of us and is the realm of perfect ideas. In it is the perfect pattern spoken of by Plato, or the divine design. For there is a divine design for each person. There is a place that you are to fill and no one else can fill, something you are to do which no one else can do. There is a perfect picture of this in the superconscious mind. It usually flashes across the conscious as an unattainable idea, something to do too good to be true. But in reality, it is a person's true destiny or destination flashed to them from the infinite intelligence which is within themselves. Many people, however, are in ignorance of their true destinies and are striving for things and situations that do not belong to them and would only bring failure and dissatisfaction if attained. For example, a woman came to me and asked me to speak the word that she would marry a certain person with whom she was very much in love, whom she called A.B. I replied that this would be a violation of spiritual law, but that I would speak the word for the right person, the divine selection, the person who belonged to her by divine right. I added, "If A.B. is the right person, you can't lose, and if not, you will receive an equivalent." She saw A.B. frequently, but no headway was made in their friendship. One evening she called and said, "Do you know, for the last week A.B. hasn't seemed so wonderful to me." I replied, "Maybe A.B. is not the divine selection. Another person may be the right one." Soon after that, she met someone who fell in love with her at once and who had said she was his ideal. In fact, he said all the things that she had always wished A.B. would say to her. She remarked it was quite uncanny and soon returned his love and lost all interest in A.B. This shows the law of substitution. Right idea was substituted for a wrong one. Therefore, there was no loss or sacrifice involved. Jesus Christ said, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he said, the kingdom was within. The kingdom is the realm of right ideas with the divine pattern. Jesus Christ taught that our words play a leading part in this game of life. By your words ye are justified, and by your words ye are condemned. Many people have brought disaster into their lives through idle words. For example, a woman once asked me why her life was now one of poverty and limitation. Formerly she had a home and was surrounded by beautiful things, but she had often tired of the management of her home and had said repeatedly, I'm sick and tired of things. I wish I live in a trunk. She added, today I'm living in that trunk. She had spoken herself into this trunk. The subconscious mind has no sense of humor, and people often joke themselves into unhappy experiences. For example, a woman who had a great deal of money joked continually about getting ready for the poorhouse. In a few years, she was almost destitute, having impressed the subconscious mind with a picture of lack and limitation. Fortunately, the law works both ways, and a situation of lack may be changed to one of plenty. For example, another woman came to me one hot summer's day for a treatment for prosperity. She was worn out, dejected, and discouraged. She said she possessed just $8 in the world. I said, good, well, bless the $8 and multiply them as Jesus Christ multiplied the loaves and fishes, for he taught that everyone had the power to bless and to multiply, to heal and to prosper. She asked, what shall I do next? I replied, follow intuition. Have you a hunch to do anything or to go anywhere? Intuition means to be taught from within. It is a man or woman's unerring guide, and I will deal more fully with its laws in the following chapters. The woman replied, I don't know. I seem to have a hunch to go home. I have just enough money for airfare. Her home was in a distant city, and the reasoning mind or intellect would have said, stay in New York and get work and make some money. I replied, then go home. Never violate a hunch. I spoke the following words for her. Infinite spirit opened the way for great abundance for this woman. She is an irresistible magnet for all that belongs to her by the divine right. I told her to repeat it continually also. She left for home immediately. In calling on a woman one day, she linked up with an old friend of her family's. Through this friend, she received thousands of dollars in a most miraculous way. She has said to me often, tell people about the woman who came to you with $8 and a hunch. There is always plenty on a person's pathway, but it can only be brought into manifestation through desire, faith, or the spoken word. Jesus Christ brought out clearly that you must make the first move. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. In the scriptures we read, concerning the works of my hands command ye me. Infinite intelligence, God is ever ready to carry out your smallest or greatest demands. Every desire, uttered or unexpressed, is a demand. We are often startled by having a wish suddenly fulfilled. For example, one Easter, having seen many beautiful rose trees in the florist's windows, I wished I would receive one, and for an instant saw it mentally being carried in the door. Easter came, and with it a beautiful rose tree. I thanked my friend the following day and told her it was just what I had wanted. She replied, I didn't send you a rose tree. I sent you lilies. The florist had mixed the order and sent me a rose tree simply because I had stated and started the law in action, and I had to have a rose tree. Nothing but fear and doubt stands between someone and their highest ideals and every desire of their heart. When a person can wish without worrying, every desire will be instantly fulfilled. I will explain more fully in the following chapter the scientific reason for this and how fear must be erased from the consciousness. It is your only enemy. Fear of lack, fear of failure, fear of sickness, fear of loss, and a feeling of insecurity on some plane. Jesus Christ said, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Matthew 8:26. So we can see we must substitute faith for fear, for fear is only inverted faith. It is faith in evil instead of good. The object of this game of life is to see clearly one's good and to obliterate all mental pictures of evil. This must be done by impressing the subconscious mind with a realization of good. A very brilliant woman who has attained great success told me she had suddenly erased all fear from her consciousness by reading a sign that hung in a room. She saw printed in large letters a statement, "Why worry? It will probably never happen." These words were stamped indelibly upon her subconscious mind, and she now has a firm conviction that only good can come into her life, therefore only good can manifest. In the following chapter, I will deal with the different methods of impressing the subconscious mind. It is everyone's faithful servant, but one must be careful to give it the right orders. A woman and man has ever a silent listener at their side, their subconscious mind. So every thought, every word is impressed upon it and carried out in amazing detail. It is like a singer recording a song. Every note and tone of the singer's voice is registered. If they cough or hesitate, it is registered also. So So let us break all the old bad recordings in the subconscious mind, the recordings of our lives that we do not wish to keep, and make new and beautiful ones. Speak these words aloud with power and conviction. I now erase and eliminate by my spoken word every untrue recording in my subconscious mind. They shall return to the dust heap of their native nothingness, for they came from my own vain imaginings. I now make my perfect recordings through the Christ within, the recordings of health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression. This is the square of life, the game completed. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. And that is it for today's episode of Molecular Expressions. Thank you. Have a blessed day.